And let me tell you, that was incredible to have three services this past week. Amen. Friday evening starting Shabbat, then Saturday morning Shabbat, and then going into Shavuot. It was really like a powerhouse for me all week long. And it really propelled me to continually stay in it in the mornings and in the evenings. And, you know, have a Wednesday night and have all of us come together, it kind of reminds me of Ruth. I've been thinking about Ruth all week. You know, nobody begged Ruth to come. Ruth was told at best to go back. She was told to go back. But Ruth drew a great, great interest in the guy that Naomi was serving. And so she comes there, and we got to learn a lot that I had never seen before. You know, had I not learned these years in the Torah, what we've learned so far, I wouldn't have seen a lot of those things like we've seen. And it just all went pow, pow. You know, especially when she gets there and she's got to listen and do the things that she's told and pay attention. And she was surrounded by Hebrew people. She wasn't surrounded by a bunch of preachers telling her, you need to do this, you need to do that, or I see it this way, or I see it that way. She was surrounded by people that were living a certain way. It's kind of like in the book of James, Jacob. Don't be just a hearer only, but a doer of your word. Everybody that she was surrounded with, her surroundings was people that was all doing the same thing. And that's how she learned from it. And it's pretty incredible when you get around people that are just like you, and surround yourself with those kind of people, it really gets on you and you pay attention, and it's really powerful. With that being said, I come home in the afternoons now, and I've been making myself a habit of going through the book of Proverbs. Just listen to the first four chapters. So I'm going to habit myself every day to listen to the first four books of Proverbs, first four chapters. In Proverbs. And knowing what we know and listening to it, listening to it carefully, it's like dunamis. It's like power. I can't explain it. These words just come alive and it gives you life. It's like it makes you weep and you weep. It's like you're coming in from a long day, you're around a lot of worldly people, you're holding your posture well. But you still, your eyes, your ear gates, and everything surrounded with that during the day. When you come in the evening and you put the Proverbs on, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, it's like your mother just grabs her son and just holds you in her arms, and it's incredible. And you just weep and you weep. It's like, it's so refreshing. It's like a powerhouse. It's incredible. It really is. And then we on Torah portion, Bahar. Hebrew on the mountain at Mount Sinai. And it's amazing how we're going through this Torah portion. And at the same time, we'll have Shavuot on the sabbatical year, Jubilee, and then on the mountain. And, you know, I was going through my studies this week, and I just can't help. I don't know if we ever get there, but I can't help it. I was just sitting there thinking, I'm like, okay, we have 6 days in the beginning. Adam and Eve had the 6 days. On the seventh day, you'd have a day of rest. And they worked. They were made to work the land a certain way. Today, the land is worked the wrong way. It's worked wickedly, evilly. We talked about the way everything is governed. It's all wrong. But there's a second Adam that came. And there's going to be a time when he comes, and it's going to be worked the right way. And so with 6 days, 6 years, the seventh year, then we talk about the sixth millennial. And it says, 6 days we work and labor hard, right? We work and labor. And on the seventh day is a rest. So in the sixth millennial, you're working and you're laboring and you're working and you're laboring. And when the seventh millennial comes, you hang in there, there's going to be rest. You're going to have rest. When Mashiach comes, we're going to get our rest. We're not in the full rest right now. We're going through some hard work and labor. We get ridiculed. We get cast down. People even get put to death for it. Just like it did in the book of Acts. It talks about what happened because they stood for it. And they're dead, but they're going to be raised. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will raise at his coming. And then they're going to get their rest. Everybody's going to get their rest. If there was no 6 days of labor, there'd be no such thing as a day of rest. There's a day of rest because there's 6 days of labor. And that's what we're learning. and there was workers working the land in righteousness, in mishpatim. Today, it's worked in iniquity. You workers of iniquity. What he said, I know you're not. What's going to be removed from the land? The workers of iniquity. The meek of the earth shall stay. The meek ones of the earth shall stay. Those who work righteousness, his right rulings, his righteous right rulings. And that's what we're learning. We come out of Egypt, we come out of Mishraim, justification into sanctification. We're going into Canaan. We can't do what they do. We got to get rid of all those things. We got to break all those habits. And so, we're seeing in Shabbat and Shavuot a small scale of a bigger picture that's coming, a much, much bigger picture, an eternal picture that's going to be coming like it was from the beginning. He's going to bring us back to where it was in the beginning, how it all functioned correctly. Remember, Tov, good, it functions properly. It's the way it's supposed to function. So if we're missing Shabbat, we're going to talk about that. That's key. We're not practicing applying Yehovah's right rulings. The surroundings of this world will dictate our lives. You have to have it. It's the key. And we'll go to the book of Yaakov, James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 25, still relating to all the people that surrounded Ruth and what she learned. In James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. Says every good gift, every tov, every good gift and perfect gift. Every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change, no shadow of turning. Having purposed it, he brought us forth by the word of truth, for us to be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work. When you start reading your Bible now, after knowing about work, you see work pop out the pages everywhere. Work, 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 work. We're supposed to be working something. We're supposed to be workers of righteousness. We're supposed to be working in our lives on a daily basis. It says, for the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of Elohim. Therefore, put away all the filthiness and the overflow of evil, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our lives, and become doers of the word and not hearers only. And that's what Ruth did. She became a doer. She did everything she was told. And therefore, that's what happened to her, because she came in. She says, my Elohim will be, your Elohim will be my Elohim. Where you go, I go. And till death is the way we depart. That's where it'll end, is when death comes. So I'm here to stay all the way to my death. I'm here to be married. And I'll put my ring on. I'm to be married and do everything you say. And that's what she did. And she's an incredible example. Pastor gave an incredible example. Thank you, Father, for sharing with us about Ruth, because it's really helped me all week long thinking about Ruth, what she did. She listened and did everything she was told. And come here on a Wednesday night, no, it's not commanded. No, but you draw interest like Ruth did. She said, my God is your, I want to know, I'm drawing interest in this God you serve. The gods that they serve over there isn't like your God. It's very ruley, slavery, bondage, hurtful, a lot of death, 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 death. Bondage and death, that's all it is bondage and death, and it doesn't last. Which is able to save your lives. Become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what he was like. But he that looks into the perfect, and it states it twice in there, perfect, the perfect Torah, that of freedom, and continues in it, not becoming a hearer that forgets, but a doer of the what? There's that word work again. It pops up everywhere. Work, work, work. No more workers of iniquity. No more stench and smell of death. Remember, when we came to Yeshua, He cleansed us from all unrighteousness with His blood and gave us a brand new start. Now we got to do something. We got to work righteousness. We got to be doers of His word. It gives us life. It brings us life. There's no more. The death starts going away. This one shall be blessed in his doing of the Torah. Now, while I'm holding on that and thinking about Ruth, let's go to Proverbs. We're going to go through Proverbs. We're going to read it slowly. Now, I wasn't going to do it because there's a lot to read, but I keep getting wooed to do it. I can't help it. I'm going to have to. So you go to Proverbs. And I learned some things about Proverbs. I just learned it today. I always looked at Proverbs. I never did look up that Hebrew word. It looks like it says Mishel or Mishle or whatever. So I looked up the Hebrew words. There's a Hebrew word and there's also the root word. And it's not what I thought it was. When I read it now, it's Mishel or Mishal. It starts off Mishal. The root word is Mishel, Mishal. And amazingly, it's to rule, it's to govern, and it's also power. It's power. So when you read Proverbs, you're reading the words of Elohim. He's given you power, and it's to rule, and it's to govern. And remember what we just said, His word is what? It's perfect. It's perfect. He wraps His arms around you, and He gives you strength, and He gives you power if you do these. And so when you read that, and you know that the Hebrew words for it, Mishal and Michelle, and you read up on those two Hebrew words, it's pretty powerful. Rule and govern. And that's what Charlemagne had to do. If that was him in these writings, if that was his last writings, just to say, like we was taught, it's pretty incredible that he was a ruler and a governor of these words. And besides, whether it was him or not, still this is the word of God. It says all scripture is profitable for doctrine and reproof. All scripture. And this is part of it right here. So it's His word, and I'm going to take His word for it, and I'm going to read what it says to do in discipline and correction and hold on to everything He says to do. So let's look in Proverbs, Michelle, Mashal, or Shalomo, son of Dawid, sovereign of Israel. For knowing wisdom and discipline, it takes discipline. For understanding the words of understanding. For receiving the discipline of wisdom and righteousness, and mishpatim, right ruling, and straightness. For giving insight to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. The wise one hears and increases learning, and the understanding one gets wise counsel. For understanding, a mashal, a proverb, a figure, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of Yehovah is another one that sticks out. They just pop out the page when you're reading it after everything you're learning about fear and respecting Yehovah. The fear of Yehovah is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Got too many other things to do. Don't ever set the time aside. The evil inclination always fools us to believe that it's a little much. I'm a little tired. But you try it and put it on. It embraces you. It gives you more power than what you had, really. It says, my son, heed the discipline of your father and do not forsake the Torah of your mother. And I'm telling you, when you're reading through this after a long day, you sit there and weep because your mother embraces you. I'm telling you, it's incredible. That's what I picture the whole time I'm going through this. I just weep and I cry and I'm strengthened and empowered. For they are a fair wreath on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and entirely like those going down to the pit. Let us find all precious goods. Let us fill our houses with spoil. It's all temporary goods. It is no good. It doesn't last. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, he says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot. What we're talking about, pathways of righteousness. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and they hurry to shed blood. For in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. After you've learned the Torah and going through it enough, you plainly see the net that is spread in front of you. Don't go over there. Don't do that. Stay away from it. Don't act like that anymore. Don't say those things. For in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone greedy for gain. And that word gain, that's covetousness or what somebody else has got. Or you don't have enough. In the flesh, you'll never have enough. It doesn't matter what subject it is. You never have enough. It's never satisfied. But in Yah, rather it's a good day or a tough day, you give thanks in all things. That's what he says. You give thanks in all things. I told him this week, I said, Father, I got a busy week, but you know everything. My mind wants to tell me it might be a long day, but whether it's a long day or a short day, I just give you thanks for it. Whatever happens is going to happen. And behold, he gave me an easy day today. It blew my mind, but I was thankful. I was done before 9:30 with all my limits of fish and stuff. Got in, I got to take me an hour of rest. I went and took me a nap. Got in my studies again, listened to Proverbs over and over again. Let me tell you, he did an amazing thing for me today. And I went places I ain't never been. I went fishing in places with redfish. I didn't even know they have a redfish day. And we just got there, and it just happened. And I said, Father, I know it could have been a tough day because I know we got tough days. I still would have got out there, done what I'm supposed to do. I just give you thanks for it. So I was thankful for today. You don't see those things. Your mind tries to tell you something. The evil inclination tries to tell you stuff before you even get there. And you have no idea how it's going to work or play out. You don't know. You know, like the Cajun Amish picnic going to Indiana. Everybody's got their mindset of going out there. But you don't know how it's all going to play out, how it's going to happen, the people you're going to meet, the things that's going to happen. You don't know. But you just put yourself out there and do what he says. Such are the ways for everyone greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. It takes away. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the broad places. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out at the openings of the gates. In the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Shall scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? He says, turn at my reproof and see. I do what? What happened with Shavuot? I pour out my spirit on you. I make my words known to you. What happened to Ruth? Made himself known to her by going through all what she went through. I'll make myself known to you, but you got to show up. You got to show some kind of interest. Like I said, nobody drug her in. Nobody preached to her. Nobody tried to bribe her into coming. We don't need to bribe anybody into coming. Let Yehovah do it. Thank you, Father, for your set apart spirit, drawing. Whatever happens, hey, you draw an interest, it's going to happen for you. But you got to show him some kind of interest. My wife and I wouldn't be together today if I didn't show some interest towards my wife when we was dating. That would be over with. You got to show some kind of interest. Turn at my reproof. See, I pour out my spirit on you. I make my words known to you. And here's the part that gets tough for people. Because I called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no one inclined. You spurned all my counsel. You would not yield to my reproof. Let me also laugh at your calamity and mock when your dread comes. Remember what Brother Rob brought up? Look, I had that dream about the whirlwinds. And he reads Yirmiyahu. He reads about the whirlwinds. The whirlwinds come and tear things up. It's not easy. It's destruction. It's terrible. We talked about the field. Staying in that field. Don't go to the other field. I don't know the reason why Naomi and her husband and her kids went that way. But if you leave out of the field you're supposed to be in and go in the wrong field, you might not come back with your husband or a wife or the kids. You better be careful which field you want to go into. I heard that loud and clear. You don't have to preach to nobody. The Father just speaks his words and tells you, hey, I'd be careful if I was you. Hey, hello. And what happened? I don't know how it happened, but they went over there and they come back. She's by herself, and then she brings her sister-in-law with her. Her daughter-in-law. Yeah, her daughter-in-law with her. Yeah, her daughter-in-law. And that was an incredible thing that happened. It's powerful. Let me also laugh at your calamity, Mark, when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Let them call on me, but I answer not. Let them seek me, but not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear. There it is again. There's the fear of Jehovah. They did not accept my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, let them eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own counsels, for the turning away of the simple kills them, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me dwells safely, and is at ease from the dread of evil. We're getting away from evil. It's trickery, it's lies, deception, it's no good. Chapter 2, my son, if you accept my words and treasure up my commands with you, so that you make your ear attend to wisdom and incline your heart to understand. For if you cry for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand. Then you will understand the fear of Yehovah and find the knowledge of Elohim. For Yehovah gives wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He treasures up. He's got a heaven full. He treasures up stability for the straight and a shield to those walking blamelessly. To watch over the paths of right ruling and the way of his loving, committed ones, he guards. Then you will understand righteousness and right ruling and straightness, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge be pleasant to your being. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the evil way, from the man who speaks perversities. They got men who speak perversities. Those who leave the paths, they leave. They must have been there if they left it, right? They leave the paths of straightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil, they delight in the perversities of evil. Whose paths are crooked, they are perverted in their ways. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the foreigner who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and has forgotten. There's another big word, the covenant. Forgotten the covenant of her Elohim. For her house has sunk down to death. Where are we leaving? We leave in death. We've been saved and rescued from death. We're supposed to be working our way from that. Who forsake the companion of youth, her house has sunk down to death and her paths to the dead. None going into her does return. Nor do they reach the paths of life. They may not come back. There are certain ones that left with Naomi that didn't come back. That's just the way it is. There's some that made it back here. Praise Jehovah. But there's some that didn't make it back. There's been funerals. They didn't make it back. You got to stay in the field that he tells you to stay in. You got to stay anchored when he says to stay anchored. Don't pick it up because you'll drift. I remember that, plain as day, like it was yesterday. None going into her return, nor do they reach the paths of life. So walk in the way of goodness and guard the paths of righteousness. For the straight shall dwell in the earth and the perfect be left in it. I'm going to say it again. For the straight shall dwell in the earth and the perfect be left in it. In this Torah portion, it talks about this part. But the wrong shall be cut off from the earth. The treacherous ones shall be plucked out of it. You're going to be raptured. You're going to be plucked out of it. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be plucked out of it. Those who are standing like it was in the beginning, like Adam and Eve, they're going to stay. When Yeshua returns, he's going to have ones who work the land the way it's supposed to be worked. That's how it's going to stay. And the ones who don't, they're going to be plucked out of it. Chapter 3, my son, do not forget my Torah and let your heart watch over my commands. For length of days, look, we're getting more life. You get more life. It talks about length of days. But if we don't, you lose length of days. That means you're dying more. Less length of days, it means you're dying more. More life is when you do what he says, I'll add some more days to you. I'll add more life to you. Remember, they got life and you got death. You got blessings and we got curses. We have curses on us for breaking the Torah. When we start being obedient to it, we get the blessings and the reward of the Torah. For length of days and long life and peace they add to you. Let not loving commitment and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. I weep when I read that part. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Thus finding favor and good insight in the eyes of Elohim and man. Trust in Yehovah. And that's where we get that part from, about trusting in Yehovah with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Remember that? It says, trust in Yehovah with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Know him in all your ways, and he'll make all your paths straight. He'll make them sure. When you wake up in the morning, Father, I thank you for my pathways, being my footsteps, being guided by you and directed by you today. Makes all your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yehovah and turn away from evil. It is healing to your navel and moistening to your bones. The more we're obedient to the Torah, the less we'll be praying for sicknesses and death and things. You know, it gets away. It gets away from all those things the more we keep seeking and doing what he says. The curses go away and blessings come. It says, esteem Yehovah with your goods and with the first fruits of all your increase. Then your storehouses shall be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the discipline of Yehovah and do not loathe his reproof. For whom Yehovah loves, he reproves, as a father the son whom he delights in. Blesses the man who has found wisdom and the man who gets understanding. The pages are full in these chapters of wisdom and knowledge and wisdom and knowledge and wisdom and knowledge and the fear of Elohim. And to work. For the gain from it is better than gain from silver, and it's increased than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies. All your delights are not comparable to her. Length of days is in her right hand. Riches and esteem are in her left hand. Her ways are in her right hand and her left hand. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths or peace. Stephen was at peace when he was being stoned to death. He was at peace. He knew this. He proclaimed this. He spoke about Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe. He spoke out about them all. He had in his heart. It was in his mind. He didn't have a piece of paper to read off of. He knew it. She is a tree of life to those taking hold of her, and blessed are all who retain her. Yehovah founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens by understanding. And that's how it all started from the beginning. But it didn't end that way. It's really bad and destructive right now. It's terrible. The earth is full of chaos. And he's going to take and make life out of chaos again. He's going to make light out of it. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. He did that. I'm reading that. I'm just thinking about what he did. How we were clay. We're nothing but dust. And he created us. He's the one we look up for everything. He's our creator. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Watch over sound wisdom and discretion. Then they became life to your being and an adorning to your neck. Then you would walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you need not be afraid, and you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. You have a sweet sleep at night. When you wake up in the morning, you know he's going to be with you again, as long as you be obedient to his commands, and his spirit stays with you. His Ruach HaKodesh is with us as long as we're obedient to his command. And we slip up, we better teshuva really quick, because it's more peaceful and assuring knowing where you're going rather than being in the wrong fear. You're afraid because you know you need to repent and get right back on line with the Father. You'll be assured of your steps then, but you don't know where your steps are going to be when you're in rebellion. And if you stay in rebellion too long, you have a spell on you. Do not be afraid of sudden dread, nor the ruin of the wrong when it comes. For Yehovah is at your side, and he shall guard your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I give it, when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor, seeing he dwells safely beside you. These are incredible principles. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no evil. Do not envy a cruel man and choose none of his ways. For the perverse one is an abomination to Yehovah, and his secret counsel is with the straight. The curse of Yehovah is on the wrong. The wrong ones of the earth is going to be plucked out of it. So if they're going to get plucked out of it, and we keep doing it, guess what we're going to get? We're going to get plucked out of it. We got to quit doing wrong. We got to do what's right. And how are we going to know what to do, what's right, if we don't go find it in the Word where Yeshua talks about? These are my Father's words, not my words. Let's go find out what he learned, because he's the only one that I know of that escaped the grave. So if he escaped the grave and he got eternal life, we can do if we do what he did. And you got to go left to Matthew. You got to go back to Bereshit. We got to read from the beginning. The curse of Yehovah is on the house of the wrong, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He certainly scoffs the scoffers, but gives favor to the humble. The humble and the meek ones shall inherit the earth. The wise do inherit esteem, but fools are bearing away shame. And in the last chapter, children, listen to the discipline of a father and give attention to no understanding. If I give you tov, good instruction, perfect instruction, it has no flaws in it. Imagine that. It has no trickery in it. You don't come up empty. Do not forsake my Torah. For I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the eyes of my mother. And he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Guard my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget. And do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not leave her and let her guard you. Love her and let her watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and let her uplift you. She brings you esteem when you embrace her. What did Ruth do? She embraced something. What do we got to do? We got to embrace. She gives your head a fair wreath. She shields you with an adorning crown. Hear, my son, accept my words and let the years of your life be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in straight paths. When you walk, your steps shall not be hindered. And that's not just reading Proverbs chapter 1 through chapter 4. This is going back from the beginning and reading it all. Not just these chapters. Some people read these chapters and go, whoo, I got some wisdom. I got some wisdom. We got nothing. We got to go back to the beginning and read where he got this from. How he was so adamant about being able to speak these words. When you walk, your steps shall not be hindered. And if you run, you shall not stumble. Become strong and disciplined. He says it over and over again. Discipline, discipline. Do not let go. Watch over her, for she is your life. There's many, many cravings and many, many deceptive things out there that try and tease you and try and get you to let go. Don't let it go for nothing and for nobody, for she is your life. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they've done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they have eaten the bread of wrongdoing, and they drink the wine of violence. We drink the bread of life. We eat the bread of life. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. I was talking to Brother Rob. I was like, look, every one of us. I look up the pastor. Sometimes I'm like, oh, he's got all of that. And it almost intimidates me. But every one of us is like to the light of dawn as the sun. I was watching it come up this morning. We're going to read. We're going to study. We're going to go little by little by little by little. And you're going to see it come alive. Come alive. You're going to see it performing in your life. And I tell you what, everybody's been doing an incredible job. Everybody, from the least to the greatest, It's been incredible seeing the growth in here. And because one, on a midrash, that was so powerful. Because of one speaking the word on a midrash, another one comes up here and gets propelled to come up here and do her part. That's what the body's supposed to do. It's incredible. The way of the wrong is like darkness. They do not know at what they stumble. My son, listen to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Guard them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the sources of life. Turn away from you a crooked mouth. We're learning to work on our mouth. I'm working on mine still. It's every day. Until death or return, I got to work in this mouth. I got to work in this mind and this body every day. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look forward and your eyelids look straight before you. Consider the path of your feet, and all your ways are established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. And that's what we're doing tonight on Wednesday night. That's what we're doing on Friday evening on Shabbat, Saturday morning Shabbat. And I almost wish we had a Sunday morning again. That was really good. Shavuot was incredible. That was incredible. So now we're gonna go back a little bit, because we've been in the book of Vayikra for a long time, and we still got a little bit more left to go. We're almost to the midbar. But I want to just kind of go back over a couple of verses through a couple of different chapters. Not many, but just a couple for a little review leading up to some of our slides later on. So I went back. I was like, you know, for me, I'm like, man, you know, I remember some things, but it's impossible to remember everything. And so I go back and I just started looking over a few of these. I started with Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 1, just verses 1 through 3. I just started looking over this. And it says, and Yehovah called to Moshe and spoke to him from the tent of appointment, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to Yehovah, bring your offering of the livestock of the herd. If his offering is an ascending offering of the herd, let him bring a male, a perfect one. Let him bring it to the door of tent of appointment for his acceptance before Yehovah. And it brings back to, okay, Vayikra, we talked about a review there. From Devarim leading all the way to here, where they had to raise up their animal for their sin offering. There was also the ascending offering. So it brings back my remembrance of what we learned in Vayikra about the offerings. And then I went to Leviticus chapter 2. I mean 6, I'm sorry, 6. Chapter 6. Just reviewing over verses 2 through 5. When any being sins and committed a trespass against Yehovah, and has lied to his neighbor about a deposit, about a pledge, robbery, or shall extort from his neighbor, or has found what was lost and has lied concerning it, or did swear falsely, so that he sins in regard to to any one of all of these that a man does, then it shall be when he sins, he shall be guilty, that he shall return what he took by robbery, or what he has extorted, or the deposit which was deposited with him, or the lost item which he found, or all that about which he swore falsely, he shall repay its total value and one-fifth more to it and give it to whom it belongs on the day of his guilt offering. So there was things that they were doing wrong, and they wasn't loving them their neighbor as themselves. They were doing wrong, and so they had to come out with these. And when you did wrong, you didn't just repent and bring your animal, do all those things. You had to go to that person, and then you had to repay them more for whatever you stole. They said one-fifth more to it. Add one-fifth more to it. There was rules. And if you break those rules, it cost you even more. So you learn to love your neighbor as yourself through all these rules you learn in Leviticus. And in chapter 8, verses 2 through 13, we learn about offerings. We learn about loving your neighbor as yourself. different, there's many, many things in there that we talked about. And this verses 2 through 13 in chapter 8, take Aharon and his sons with him, and the garments, and anointing oil. There's a certain way you got to dress before Yehovah. We learn how to dress before Yehovah, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull, the sin offering, and the two rams, the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the door of the tent of appointment. And Moshe, and remember, Yehovah keeps telling Moshe, and later on we get in the New Testament, in the Brit Hadashah, Yeshua refers to, haven't you read about me in the book of Moshe? In the book of Moshe, he refers everybody back to Moshe. Where do we get all this from? Book of Moshe. We've got to go back to Devarim. We've got to go back to Leviticus, back to Vayikra, and look at everything, his likes, his dislikes, the way we dress before him. And we talk about what's clean and what's unclean. And it reminds us that we were supposed to be dead. When Adam and Eve broke the command, they were supposed to be dead. But his mercy and his grace extended their life a little bit. Even though death is still on us, we get a certain age to Yehovah, we stink. Because we have death on us. We're dying. Age is a nice way to put it, but we're dying. Every one of us. And the only way to escape death is to go get nailed, ear nailed to the door, Yeshua HaMashiach. He's the only one who escaped it, and do what he says. And dress the way he says before the Father. And be clean before the Father before you can even get set apart. There's a clean way to be. A nice smelling aroma, sweet aroma that he likes. It says, and anointing oil on the bull of the sin offering and the two rams and the basket of unleavened bread, assemble the congregation at the door of the tent of appointment. And Moshe did as Yehovah commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the door of the tent of appointment. And Moshe said to the congregation, this is the word. Not his words. What did Yeshua say? This is not my words. What did Moshe say? It's not my words. He says, as Yehovah commanded him to do. Moshe said to the congregation, this is the word Yehovah commanded to be done. So Moshe brought Aharon and his sons, and he washed them with the water, put the long shirt on him, and girded him with a girdle, and dressed him in the robe, and put the shoulder garment on him, and girded him with the embroidered band, the shoulder garment, and with it tied the shoulder garment on him, and put the breastplate on him, and put the Urim and the Thummim, the breastplate, and put the turban on his head. And on a turban on the front, he put the golden plate and the set-apart sign of dedication as Yehovah commanded Moshe. And Moshe took the anointing oil and anointed the dwelling place, all that was in it, and set them apart. Kadosh. Set them apart. And they became set-apart ones. Kadoshim. Seven times. It says, and he sprinkled some of it on the slaughter place seven times and anointed the slaughter place and all its utensils and the basin and the base to set them apart. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aharon's head and anointed him to be set apart. And Moshe brought the sons of Aharon and put long shirts on them and girded them with girdles and put turbans on them as Yehovah commanded Moshe. There's a dress code. There's the dress code. It's got a lot of detail to it. And it's going to take us a lifetime to learn all the details. And every time we get into it, we think we learned a lot. We learn more. And we got so many slides, we can't even finish them in one little Torah portion. We got stuff we leave on the table. Piles. Piles. I stay meditating on 40 slides. I get into the land. And I get into certain things, and I can't help it. And we get into Shabbats. I'm just studying on the Shabbats. Shabbat is key. Without Shabbat, the time clock don't work. He made a time clock, a perfect time clock with all the earth and everything. And Shabbat was the first thing he put on the list and said, here, this is my Shabbat. This is forever. And then everything else follows suit. Without it, you're lost. You don't know where you're at. You're lost. Leviticus chapter 10, 1 through 3. And we learned about Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aharon. Each took his fire hole to put fire in and put incense on it and brought strange fire before Yehovah, which he had commanded them not. And fire came out from Yehovah and consumed them, and they died before Yehovah. There's a certain way you come before him. And they came before him wrong. They got a little mixed drink. They didn't pay attention. Got something mixed up, and that was the end of it. It's just the way it is. There's no man that can come before Yehovah That's why we are separated from Him. And our go-between is Yeshua, the perfect one, that intercesses for us. He's our high priest, and He atones for us. And we work on our way that way. There's going to come a day. That seventh millennial is going to come, and we're going to have rest, those who follow and do it, Yeshua says. And fire came out from Yehovah and consumed them, and they died before Yehovah. Then Moshe said to Aharon, "This is what Yehovah spoke, saying, by those who come near me, let me be set apart, and before all the people, let me be esteemed." And Aharon was silent. There's a lot of things I'm learning right now that I would like to say a lot of things, but He tells me to be silent. He commands you to be silent, it goes a lot easier. If you don't be silent and say what you want, it goes a whole lot harder. It's difficult. It puts you in a bind because a lot of us don't see it that way. But I learned when I said things and did things where I wanted to do out of anger and bitterness, I become like I'm Yehovah or something. And I can't play His role. I'm not Yehovah. And when He says to be silent, He's going to take care of it. I got to leave Him in charge. Trying to be Yehovah puts you in a lot of trouble. And it brings a lot of heartache and grief. And you got to repent, teshuv, and get right back on track. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 1 through 7 is the last one I'm going to brief over. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe and to Aharon, saying to them, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the living creatures which you do eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatever has a split hoof, completely divided, chewing the cud, among the beasts that you do eat. Only these you do not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have a split hoof. The camel, because it chews the cud but does not have a split hoof, it is unclean to you. And the rabbit, because it chews the cud but does not have a split hoof. It is unclean to you." He went through specific details on what is clean and what is unclean. I won't ask you no questions. Just do what He says. Nadab and Abihu went in there. It wasn't about questions. They just did one thing wrong. And you cannot go before Yehovah. Things can end up really bad for you. We keep hearing, it says, I'm sorry, "because it chews the cud but does not have a split hoof, it is unclean to you. And the pig, though it has a split hoof completely divided, yet does not chew the cud, it is unclean to you." And so we keep hearing Yehovah speak to Moshe these instructions through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, comes to life with all these after learning it first in the Torah from the beginning in Vayikra, and then we hear it in Stephen. And so one chapter in the book of Acts, I'm going to say, chapter 7, verses 44 and 46. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 44 through 46. It says, "The tent of witness was with our fathers in the wilderness, and He appointed, instructing Moshe," who? "Instructing Moshe to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Yehoshua into the land possessed by the nations, whom Elohim drove out." What did He do? "Who Elohim drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of Dawid." We see what's going to happen in the future when the seventh millennial comes, and working our way to that, He drives out all the workers of iniquity, all those of lawlessness, all those who disobey the commands and keep breaking all those laws. He drives them all out. Just like He was teaching them, before you go into Canaan, this is what you're going to do. And He drove them all out from before them. But because of disobedience to the commands again, here we are again. "Also brought with Yehoshua, Joshua, into the land possessed by the nations, whom Elohim drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of Dawid, who found favor before Elohim and asked to find a dwelling for the Elohim of Jacob." Incredible. Yehovah is going to drive a certain people and destroy a certain people out of the land. So we're in Behar, Hebrew for on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and we've been through the Torah portion. It's a pretty easy one. Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through chapter 26, verse 2. And the Haftorah was Jeremiah 16, 19 through 17, 14. And the topic is going to talk in the Porsche is on the mountain, Mount Sinai, Elohim communicates to Moshe the sabbatical year. In the Torah, the sabbatical year, every seventh year, all work on the land should cease, and its produce becomes free for the taking for all man and beast. In Leviticus chapter 5, we'll read verse 1 through 6. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe on Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall observe a Shabbat to Yehovah. 6 years you sow your field. And see, this is the small, small scale of the bigger picture. You got to have the small scale first. He starts us off little by little and works us there. When you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall observe a Sabbath to Yehovah. 6 years you sow your field, 6 years you prune your vineyard and gather in its fruit, but in the seventh year, the land to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to Yehovah. Do not sow your field, do not prune your vineyard, do not reap what grows of its own of your harvest, and do not gather the grapes of your unpruned vine. For it is a year of rest for the land, and the Sabbath of the land shall be for you for food, for you and your servant, and for your female servant, and your hired servant, and for the stranger who sojourns with you. In Psalms chapter 90, verses 10 through 12, it says, the days of our lives are 70 years. Now that's one to bank on. Now that one was given with Noah, 120 years. We had to fix that one. Everybody's living 120 years. And that part of time, it didn't make any sense. But we've got that fixed with the 120 jubilees. I think it was. That's what it was, 120 yeah. Jubilees. And right here, he tells you that the days of our lives are 70 years, or if due to strength, he gives a little detail, due to strength, 80 years. Yet the best of them is but toil and exertion. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your displeasure and your wrath according to the fear of you? Teach us to what? Teach us to number our days and let us bring the heart to wisdom. What are we bringing our hearts to? Yehovah's wisdom. Our heart is evil above all else with the evil inclination. So we're training it and teaching it to have a heart of wisdom of Yehovah. Teach us to number our days. The Sabbath is key. And we talked about that in Bereshit in the beginning. The Moedim. Times, days, years. These are his appointed times. Everything is like a time clock. In Proverbs chapter 2, we went over. I'm not going to go there. I talked about getting plucked out of the land. We read that already. So it's kind of like when we look at the Hebrew culture and the agriculture and everything about reaping and sowing. You know, I just learned this. This is my first year I ever did a garden. And I learned a lot from it and still learning. But it's pretty incredible. As we habit to sow the seeds of the word of Yehovah in our lives, you'll stay rooted and grounded in Him. Trying to remember what it was I thought about yesterday about being rooted and grounded. Yeah, it was about sowing seeds of righteousness. When we keep sowing seeds of righteousness, we stay rooted and grounded, we'll stay. But if we keep sowing seeds of wrongness, it'll be plucked out. So every time we're reading the Word and we're studying, wake up in the morning, in the evening, every Shabbat, listening and hearing the words of Yehovah, we're sowing into our lives. And we're getting rooted and grounded in Him. But every time we display or we break the commands and we're sowing into unrighteousness, we're taken away from our lives. It's constantly taken away from us. I'm going to go to slide 20. It says, our master gave of himself in order to give to us that which he had promised to Abraham. In turn, we too are enabled by his favor through the blood of Messiah to give. What we got to do? We got to give ourselves totally over to him as a daily living sacrifice, serving him with our all in complete set apartness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, it says, blessed are the meek, because they shall inherit the earth. There's a work being done every day. There's workers of iniquity, and there's workers of wrong. There's workers of being set apart with the righteous right rulings. So there's a working going on in the land right now. There's even a working of being slack and laziness. You don't have to say a word. You're still doing something. So you can say yes, or you can say no. You're either working righteousness or you're working wickedness. One of the two. One of them is being worked and sowed in the earth every day by one of us. Each and every one of us. In Psalms chapter 125, verses 1 through 5, it says, those who trust in Yehovah are like Mount Zion. It is not shaken. It remains forever. I'll say it again. Those who trust in Yehovah are like Mount Zion. It is not shaken. It remains forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so Yehovah surrounds his people now and forever. For the scepter of wrongness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch forth their hand to unrighteousness. We're there as long as we're doing it right. But the minute we don't, we don't get it. We don't get it. We get plucked out. If we start working in unrighteousness again, you get plucked out. So you're good as long as you're doing right. But you start doing wrong, you better beware, because you're going to get plucked out of it. But other than that, you remain forever. Do good. It says, for the scepter of wrongness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch forth the hands to unrighteousness. Do good, O Yehovah, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, Yehovah shall lead them away with the workers. There's the word workers again. It's throughout the scripture. Workers of wickedness. Peace be upon Yisrael. It was never made for the wrong. They will in time be removed. The workers of wickedness and unrighteousness will be removed. Slide 21. From this great promise of inheritance, we can clearly see that we can be confident in our hope and expectation of what we shall inherit. Despite the intensity of pressure that may increase over our lives, this too further expels any notion of a falsely taught idea of a rapture of the set apart ones. For clearly, we are here to stay as we faithfully walk in righteousness. And I dare anybody to try and put that thing on me now. That's just one scripture. I can put 100 of them on you now. This is where what happens to those who do wrong. They get plucked out of it. They get taken away. For clearly, we are here to stay as we faithfully walk in righteousness. In Proverbs 2, 20-22, so walk in the way of goodness and guard the paths of righteousness. For the straight shall dwell in the earth, and the perfect, you can get the perfection. It says that. There was ones in the scripture talks about that there was perfect before him. But the wrong shall be cut off from the earth and the treacherous ones plucked out of it. In Psalms chapter 80, verses 1 through 19, I listen to this in song a lot. There's a James Block. He plays Psalms chapter 80. He plays Psalms. He's got so many different psalms. When you're listening to it, it's all the Word. It's getting into your ear gates. It goes throughout your whole being. I listen to this sometimes. I'm like, now we're going to the Torah, and I'm listening to it in song. I'm like, whoa, rewind that again. Rewind that again. It says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, who leads Joseph like a flock, who dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim, Benjamin, Manasseh, stir up your might and come and save us. Cause us to turn back, O Elohim, and cause your face to shine, that we might be saved. O Jehovah, Elohim of hosts, how long shall you be wroth against the prayer of your people? You have caused them to eat the bread of tears, and have caused them to drink with tears a third time. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. That goes on every day. Turn us back, O Elohim, and cause your face to shine, that we might be saved. You brought a vine out of Mishreem. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared a place for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its twigs. She spread her branches to the sea and her shoots to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges so that every passerby plucked her fruit? The boar out of the forest ravages it, and the wild beast of the field devours it. Return, we beg you, O Elohim of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, and visit this vine, and the stock which your right hand has planted, and the son whom you made strong for yourself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of your face. Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, upon the son of Adam. You know who he's talking about, whom you made stronger for yourself, and we shall not backslide from you. Revive us and let us call upon your name. Turn us back, O Jehovah, Elohim of hosts, and cause your face to shine that we might be saved. That's incredible. Listen to that in song every day. It keeps your focus on the future. It keeps your focus when you're going through a tough day. In Psalms 90, verses 1 through 17, Jehovah, you have been our refuge in all generations. Before the mountains were born, you have brought forth the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are El. You turn man back to dust and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your eyes are like yesterday that has passed, or like a watch in the night. And remember, he reminds us through Scripture, you might live to 70, 80 at best. It's like a breath. We got to keep putting this on. We're looking forward to an eternal future with Yehovah and the family of Yah. Or like it says, for 1,000 years in your eyes are like yesterday that has passed, or like a watch in the night. You have swept them away. They are as asleep, like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and springs up. At evening it is cut down and withered. We have been consumed by your displeasure, and by your wrath we are alarmed. You have set our crookednesses before you, our secret sin in the light of your face. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We spend our years like a whisper. The days of our lives are 70 years, or if due to strength, 80. Yet the best of them is but a toil and exertion. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your displeasure? And your wrath, according to the fear of Jehovah, teach us to number our days, and let us bring the heart to wisdom. It says, return, O Jehovah, how long? Many times, I'm sure the elderly, those who get up in age, they say, how long? How long? We were hoping 6 years ago. We were hoping 5 years ago. We were hoping 2 years ago. And still, here we are. You haven't returned yet. And we're getting old. And I'm sure for the elderly, Well, I'm working on 50 and I feel some things I never felt before. And your mind, you're not looking in the mirror, still feels like I'm this young powerhouse. There's sometimes you, hey, don't jump around like you used to jump around. Be careful. Because there's some days, hey, look, I get up the next morning, I'm like, man, boy, that knee hurts. I jumped around a little bit too much yesterday. And it takes me a day or two to recover. Like, man, this is really happening, but I don't want it to happen. But age, you're dying. Think about it. It's a terrible thing that happens. I had a dog years ago that went through it. She got old. She got 16 years old, and she started getting arthritis. And I just, that arthritis setting in, it's like rigor mortis. It's death. They're dying. Their time is ending. And I got my one that's, I don't know how old she is anymore. I think she's 14, 15. I can't remember. But she's been having it. She's got her bad days, and then she's got her good days. And I'm watching her just melt away. And every one of us is going to melt away. But we have a hope. We have a future expected in. We got to stay with it. We got to stay with it. We're going to work. We're going to labor. We're going to toil for the good. Doing it all is unto Yehovah, unto Elohim, and our day of rest is going to come. We got to hang in there. The seventh millennial is going to come. Whether we're dead or we're alive when he returns, the millennial is coming, and nobody's going to stop it. And it's going to be worked the way it was worked in the beginning. So let's finish right there and go to slide 24. What we recognize here in the instruction to observe a Sabbath to Yehovah, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, we see the wonderful shadow picture of how this instruction for us stands true, and that when we come into the land he gives us, we too shall observe a Sabbath to Yehovah. For the seventh millennium will be a Sabbath to Yehovah that we shall observe as we rule and reign with him in the earth, our inheritance. So see what it's leading up to? He's leading us up to a seventh millennial. That's going to be the rest. I understood this so much clearer this time when I was reading through this Torah portion. When it got to the rich man, he says, hey, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he's like, you must do this, this. Well, I obeyed that one. I know that one. I know that one. So we'll take all your stuff, all your riches, and we'll give it to the poor. He wouldn't let that go. But I understood it, looking at it as in the millennial, everything's going to be for everybody. It's not going to be, it's all mine. It's all going to be even share, just like in the Jubilee, just like in the seventh year. Come to my house. Come get from my garden. Come to my house. Come get from my, it's everybody's. It's not just mine. It's everybody's. The earth is Yehovah's and the fullness thereof. Everything is his. And we get to partake in it his way. Jeremiah 27:5, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the face of the earth, by my great power and my outstretched arm, and I shall give it to whom it seems right in my eyes. Hey, man got in control of nothing. Yehovah has control of everything. He's going to give it to whom he pleases. Land to observe on a Sabbath. Observing a Sabbath rest of the land is crucial, is critical in our ability in showing that we trust in Yehovah. And as we come to understand the scripture that this was critical to the life of Israel, we can see that to not observe this command would result in their being vomited out of the land. 6 years you sow your field, and 6 years you prune your vineyard and gather in its fruit. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to Yehovah. Do not sow your field and do not prune your vineyard. Do not reap what grows of its own of your harvest, and do not gather the grapes of your unpruned vine, for it is a year of rest for the land, and the Sabbath of the land shall be to you for food, for you and your servant, and your female servant, and your hired servant, and for the stranger who sojourns with you. And for your livestock and the beasts that are in the land, all its crops are for food. Verses 3 through 7 explains the Sabbath year. Six years' fields were to be sown, and vineyards were to be pruned, and the fruit was to be gathered in. But in the seventh year, the land was to rest. No fields were to be sown, a vineyard's pruned, and no fruit was to be gathered, and nothing that grows of its own was to be reaped. The land was to rest, and this would have huge implications upon the entire nation. And so what we see happening here is the same picture of resting on the seventh day of the week, where no work is to be done, and it further shadow pictures for us the completed work of Messiah, and that the seventh millennial will usher in the true reign of his finished work upon the earth. That's where we're going. In Bereshit chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, it says, "And in the seventh day, Elohim completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done, had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and set it apart, because on it he rested from all his work which Elohim in creating had made." It's in the beginning of your book. Slide 32. The land up till that point had not had any rest, and this command was for Yisrael when they would enter the land, as it is only Yisrael that can give the land its rest once they have entered in. Remember, Yehovah made a man to come and work and till the land, to take care of it. And that's what he's going to do again in the millennial reign, the way it's supposed to be done. And that's what was happening all through the life of Yisrael. When they would obey the commands, do as they were supposed to, the land would produce and everything would grow and do it like it was supposed to. And then when they break it, the curses would come and it wouldn't produce. The Canaanites could not give it rest, as they were only defiling it with their wicked and abominable practices. So going through the wilderness, those who wouldn't obey fell off in the wilderness, because as they were going that way, they were going to fall off anyway, because it was supposed to get rid of all the Canaanites that inhabited the land, which was doing it wrong. They were destroying the land. Everything's going to be destroyed by man, but Yehovah is going to save it all. If you left it up to man, he'd eat himself all the way to the last bit, just like a crab. A crab in a cage, when you put the bait in there and all the crabs come in, if you don't check it for a long period of time, you come back, it's got nothing but shells and one crab left. They eat themselves up. And that's what the earth is doing. They depend on themselves. They don't depend on Yehovah. And they're going to eat themselves up. That's why you're reading the scriptures. They became cannibals. They started eating each other up. They have no rules and no right rulings. Nothing to govern correctly. Yehovah is about life, and man's evil inclination is greedy and ugly, and it's about eating everything up. In Bereshit chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "And Yehovah Elohim took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to guard it." To work it and to guard it. Just as with the weekly Sabbath, there is a command to work during this other 6 years. And without the command to work for six, the ceasing in the seventh means little. After any 6 units of struggle and toil, the pattern always has, in the seventh, a taste of the kingdom, the seventh millennial. So we're being taught through Shabbat. That's where it begins. We got to at least come and listen. If we can't come to Shabbat and listen, starting evening to evening with some simple instructions, we'll never understand the next part of the seventh year. We'll never understand the Jubilee. We'll never understand the seventh millennial. Might not even make it a millennial, because you won't even come on Shabbat. You got to start with Shabbat. You got to start by coming to listen, to hear what he's telling you. So we see that from both weeks to years, we are continually reminded of the promised rest. And therefore, as Ibrahim, Hebrews, tells us, that there still remains a Sabbath keeping for the children of Israel, we begin to understand why For without these much needed rehearsals, our ability to be working the harvest field in the 6 days, millennia, may be neglected. We're supposed to be learning that now. We get there, we won't know what to do. There's no need for you if you don't do it here. We got to prove something. Ruth proved something. She wanted to, and she did what she was commanded. I think this is the last slide. I'm running out of time. So if no work is done on the sixth, the need to rest becomes neglected, and then the ability to count. Remember, in the beginning, he started with counting. Gets forgotten and leaves room for the enemy to sow the deception of his attempt in changing the appointed times and laws of Elohim, for which we must always be on guard to not allow this to happen. Resting in the seventh year would certainly be an unthinkable act in the world's eyes, yet this is what sets Yisrael apart from the rest. And you know, I don't have time to get into it, but I was reading through some of Proverbs. It talks about the sluggard, the lazy one. Go ahead and rest for a little bit. The enemy's watching, and he waits for a perfect opportunity to come and sow something. And when he sows it, you're going to be deceived, and you're going to go in the wrong way. Don't be a sluggard. You got to constantly and continually sow and sow. And the most important time to sow is evening to evening on Shabbat. And so it's a pattern for us to follow and to learn how to count. And so that's all we have time for tonight. Getting ready for the next Shabbat, come Friday evening. But this was an incredible week. 3 days of service. And gathering it all in, this information has been incredible. I praise Yah and I thank Him so much for His set-apart spirit. It gives us dunamis and power to get everything done each and every day. In the morning you sow, in the evening you sow. Don't sow to the flesh because we're going to end up reaping corruption. We don't need that no more. We got enough of it. Anybody have anything?